Lewis Black, who many of you will know from The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, from his books, from his movies, from television. He is in Toronto on September 12th at Massey Hall. It is the Rant Is Due tour. And in addition to being at Massey Hall, he will be at Centennial Hall in London on September 13th. And on September 14th, he will be at the Center in the Square in Kitchener. It's my pleasure to say hello to Lewis Black. Good morning, Mr. Black.
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
The only lefty. You guys really the only lefty?
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. Yeah, everybody thinks Canadians are a bunch of closet socialists, but...
No, well, you better, you know, it would help you guys in terms of the American conception, because they, if you they made a bigger deal of their being as conservative as we are, it might help.
Yeah, no, it's unfortunate. We've slipped into a sort of slow, gradual descent to the right.
Well, you know why? I'll tell you why. Because your dollar rose.
That's true.
When your dollar's at 60 cents, everybody's worrying about everybody. But once that dollar is real money, you go, ooh, I want all of these.
That's right. It's easy to have that sort of wider social perspective when everybody needs help.
Yeah, exactly. But it's tough, you know, that once those people, once that... it was really unbelievable to me. But because I started doing, one of the first things I did was a basketball show for like Showtime.
Right.
Where I would come up to Toronto and shoot one day every week and do my scene and then split. And it was like 70, 65 cents to the dollar. It would be like going to a discount mart. It was phenomenal.
I'll tell you,
we did Man of the Year, and then it was at 85 cents. And
right.
And then our economy bellied up, and then you guys just raced ahead of us.
My favorite thing is in the visitors clubhouse, at the Rogers Center for visiting baseball teams. There's this huge empty water cooler, and it's basically for all the baseball players to throw their spare Canadian money in when they leave the country. And it's hilarious. You can always tell how the Canadian dollar's doing, because when it's par, there seems to be a little more Canadian money in there. But anyhow, it's always the thing that's kind of interested me is taking a look at that jar.
Yeah, that's funny that they would even have the jar.
Yeah, and if you know anything about baseball players, it's even funnier that they'd be giving any money away, regardless of whether it's Canadian dollars, U.S. dollars, or pesos. It's surprising they'd be giving it away. Hey, when you come up to Canada to do the show, and I know that you've kind of had an affinity for Canada. I think at one point you were quoted in one newspaper article as saying, "We kind of get it." When you come up to Canada to do your shows, do you have to structure your shows, or do you have to, tweak your shows a little different for a Canadian audience because you might be dealing with people who are probably not quite as far to the right?
No, I don't tweak it at all. I do the same show, and I'll do these shows this week in New Hampshire and in Connecticut, and then come up next week and do, you know, the shows change each night partly because of what's going on in the world, but I'll do what I do here, there, without even thinking about it. I mean, I might, maybe different, segue an introduction to something, showing that I'm conscious
right.
of our stupidity. But that isn't really much different than what I say at home. And the reason you kind of get it is a lot of the time, since no matter nobody comes with wearing Democrat Republican goggles.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to deal with that. So you immediately get where the joke is coming from.
Yes.
We're in your face. I was in Europe too. I was saying, it's got to be like you're watching some insanely funny reality show.
Oh, it totally. And I mean, and of course, our media is inundated with it as well, which everybody knows. It's like, but it's kind of a different approach. It's like we sort of have we don't even have the ringside seats. It's like we're sitting up top, you know, and we can make a haste. And the great thing is we can make a hasty exit if we want to go to the bathroom or do something. You know, we can take a hasty exit without like interfering with the people sitting in front of us. Hey, have you done much research on Rob Ford, by the way?
I just not a lot of research. Just watching him has been really one of the great treats of my life. Except that I've been saying, and I believe this, that what's interesting is Rob Ford actually did more in the last year than our Congress did.
Yes, he did.
And more fun. More fun. If we're not going to accomplish something, then I would like all of these guys to be drunk and doing drugs, you know. And go, then you go, oh, wow, well, what are you going to do? Our Congress is a bunch of drunks.
Yeah, it would make sense then.
Completely sober and not doing anything.
Well, the reason I asked is because I went to see Bill Maher when he came up here, and Bill Maher, he was making a comment about Chris Christie and talking about how hefty Chris Christie is, and somebody yelled at him, have you seen our mayor? And I don't know, Bill just kind of looked at the guy and I thought, boy, there's an opportunity for a visiting comedian to, like, just drop the hammer, right? Because Rob Ford was out there, and Bill was kind of, well, I know he's big, but he can't be as big as Chris Christie. So anyhow, he and the guy in the audience got into back and forth about who was bigger than the other guy. Hey, you talked about coming up here to do a basketball show for Showtime. Are you much of a sports fan?
Yeah, I am. You have to have something that gets you through this veil of tears.
Mm-hmm.
I watch, my favorite is college basketball,
mm-hmm.
where there's still a vague semblance of, you know, some sort of possibilities of teams, you know, where it works to a point better than, you know, it's not as psychotic except for when they, you know, produce the shows on TV. But the basics of the game, I've been fascinated by it. But I watch everything. I mean, my you know, the most exciting thing for me is that, and I thought Toronto was going to take the league this year. I'm a Baltimore Oriole fan.
Oh, okay.
This is like phenomenal. This is years I've been waiting.
Oh yeah, you owe us because we kind of pissed away a golden opportunity, to be quite honest.
My God, I mean, I thought you were the team. I thought we were going to be okay. And the fact that we don't have Machado and done this well. I mean, I just like Showalter. I have a coach, so like I'm competitive again. At least I'm like in game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's been years. Because the owner of my team is ludicrous at times, and you know, we've just been through it. And you guys, I thought, though, really had it, and I don't quite get it.
Lewis Black joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. How crazy would a Washington Baltimore World Series be?
Oh, it'd be completely nuts. It wouldn't. I don't think it'll happen because, and it's all my fault if I wasn't really, you know. That, you know, would be thrilled by having that happen. If I wasn't involved, it would happen. If I lived in Tucson, that would be the series.
You sound like a Cubs fan, for God's sake.
Well, Washington Baltimore is really beyond the pale. You got to realize I was started as a Senators fan,
mm-hmm.
you know, and most people don't even, you know, remember them. And I like Washington because they're playing in Washington, D.C., but I have to say that you know, it's like you can take two teams away from me. You can't do it. You bring back a third team and expect me to believe they're going to be there. We're just prepping them to go back to Montreal is what I keep saying.
Lewis Black joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Hey, in a little more serious vein, read some of your comments after Robin Williams passed away. And, I mean, anybody who's a fan of comedy just... You know, it's left a big, big hole for a lot of us. And I'm wondering, you know, now that it's been a month or so that we haven't had Robin with us. You know, what's your read on his legacy as a comedian, as far as other comedians are concerned? Because I think it's one thing to have, you know, fans look at someone in some way or consumers look at someone in some way. But people who are in the front lines and doing that stuff on a day-to-day basis for a living, I think they tend to to look at him in a much different light, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, he's really, I mean, the thing is you've got Jonathan Winters and then you got him. And then, and Jim Carrey kind of seemed like it, but not so much. Because Jim was more toward the acting and putting on a character. But Robin and Jonathan were like one of a kind. I mean, people can't do that. People's minds don't move that quickly. It was like, I said, being in front of me, it was like watching The Speed of Light or something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I watched him do stuff just, we were in Toronto, we were doing Man of the Year, and we went to a club, just an open mic thing that I knew about from friends. And we went down there together and just watching him, in a small room with these people and bam, 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 bam. You know, the facility to go from being a, like a German baker to a to a haughty Englishman to, to a whatever he would. He could go wherever he wanted to go. Switch topics, at a moment's notice with, but there was a through line. It was crazy. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah, it's remarkable. I can't remember who was telling the story, but the point was it was an actor. I think they were saying that their parents were from Eastern Europe, and Robin Williams met them, and he immediately went into his that whole shtick, and they loved it. They thought it was great. They thought he was like he must have come from the village next to theirs, and he could do that. He did it in a way that didn't offend people, which is a real art.
Yeah, no, he did it with love. He had a real big, a really big heart. I mean, him with the troops was really something to watch. I mean, it was extraordinary. His energy for the troops was mind-boggling. I mean, we would get off the plane, we'd have done two shows, we'd have flown 400 miles, and now we're like doing our third show. I would get off the, plus we'd just gotten out of like a small helicopter, and I get off the helicopter, and I'm like, I could just literally go and lie down in the sand, and he's going at 100 miles an hour.
Lewis Black joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Is doing your shows live, the stand-up routine, is that still the purest form of comedy for you?
Yeah, because there's no, you work, you do radio, so there's four guys in suits you have to listen to. Come in and go, boy, that thing with Lewis Black today was really a little stale. What do you want, schmuck? It's Tuesday. So I don't have to, the nice thing is no matter what, I don't have to deal with it. It's me and the audience. And if the audience doesn't like it, they got a right not to like it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's immediate, and it's just the two, it's just us. And I don't have to say, nobody can come up afterwards and tell me what happened. I was there. I know what happened.
Hey, do you find that because part of your deal, part of your persona is the angry guy? Do people approach you a little differently because of that? And are they sort of surprised when they find out that hey, this is kind of a normal guy? I mean, he's a comedian and he can be angry, but he's a normal guy.
Yeah, no, they. Most of my audience kind of gets it, but people come up and go, I didn't really want to come up because I thought, you'd go crazy. And I go, really? How much energy do you think I have? You can only do that really.
Lewis, listen, we appreciate you joining us today. Thanks so much. Best of luck on the tour. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you. And thanks to your Blue Jays. And hopefully next year for you guys.
Yeah, I'll extend your best wishes to John Gibbons. Thanks a lot.
You take care. Thanks.